From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Steve Inskeep. British authorities say a scientist committed suicide after he became the center of a controversy over weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. David Kelly's body turned up yesterday in the woods near his home. And today, British police spokesman David Purnell made an announcement.
The post-mortem has revealed that the cause of death was hemorrhaging from a wound to his left wrist. The injury is consistent with having been caused by a bladed object. Whilst our inquiries are continuing, there is no indication at this stage of any other party being involved.
David Kelly was a senior advisor to the British government on weapons of mass destruction. And this past week, he faced intense questions from members of Parliament. They wanted to know if he was the source of a BBC allegation that Prime Minister Tony Blair's government had sexed up intelligence to make its case for war. Kelly said he met a BBC reporter, but it's not clear if he really was the source. One of many Britons watching this case is Timothy Garden. He's a former assistant chief of Britain's defense staff, and he is now a professor at King's College. Mr. Garden, welcome.
Good afternoon, Steve.
This is a kind of a stunning development that this man would walk out into the forest and, at least according to what we're being told, appear to commit suicide. How are people taking it there?
Well, I think almost in disbelief. It's like some spy thriller when, it's a terrible tragedy for him and his family and his friends, but it just seemed so unbelievable.
It comes at an unimaginably bad moment for Tony Blair's government.
Yes. We've just finished this parliamentary session. It finished on Friday, and of course Tony Blair went off before the end of the week to be in Washington, and he had his great triumph addressing both houses, and then he's now away on a grand world tour, really, which was supposed to sort of get him away from all the difficulties he's been having at home, and I think there was a great hope that the particular problems over the question of whether there was sufficient justification for Britain to go to war, he was hoping would have faded in the public mind by the time Parliament comes back again in September.
Now, that won't happen.
I don't think so, because what he has agreed to do, and it's one way of sort of defusing the problem temporarily, is to have one of the law lords, a judge, do a very rapid inquiry into the whole Kelly affair, and that's due to report in 6 to 8 weeks, which will just about put it back as Parliament returns, as in fact the political party conferences, which also happen in September, are meeting. There will be a fever pitch of media interest and political interest, and it will reopen all the questions which he was rather hoping were going to fade.
Mr. Garden, you mentioned that sort of world tour that Tony Blair is undertaking. One of his stops was the United States. He addressed the U.S. Congress. He said very nice things about America, which Americans always appreciate. But how did that visit look in the newspapers you were reading in Britain?
I think there was, it was a very difficult visit from Tony Blair's point of view. It may have gone down well in the United States, but there are some big issues at the moment with the United States and in terms of European-US relationships, and areas where the UK does take a different point of view. And one of the big tests, if you like, that he was expected to deliver on when he went across there was the Guantanamo Bay issue, the fact that the first six prisoners to be tried were British citizens. Now, what has come out of that is some relief in the sense that now our Attorney General is going to come across and discuss those two prisoners, that their trial has been suspended for a bit. That's not everything that would have been wished over here. There was amazement. I mean, it's the difference of the various systems. It would be inconceivable that anywhere in Britain Tony Blair could get 17 standing ovations at any time. He'd probably be very lucky to get one anywhere at the moment.
The 17 is how many he got before the U.S. Congress.
Yes, yes. I think people looked on it bemused, really. It was a good speech. It was reported as a good speech that obviously played well in the United States, and that given all the damage to relationships that have been between Europe and the U.S., within the UN, within NATO, this was seen as an important part of the sort of fence-mending exercise.
After all the questions about weapons of mass destruction, I just have one other question about Tony Blair's credibility. Just in your experience, the people you talk to, the people that you hear from, do you think that the average person tends to believe what Tony Blair says?
The great strength that Tony Blair had and what got him elected more than anything else was that the people trusted him. They did really see him as somebody who spoke honestly. I'm afraid that image is very tarnished now. The feeling is there, and it was certainly there over Iraq, that Tony Blair himself believes what he's saying, that he passionately believed in the case for going into Iraq. But the trouble is that the people don't believe that he has the judgment anymore to come up with the right answers.
Timothy Garden is a retired British Air Force general, a former assistant chief of the defense staff there, and he is now a professor at the Center for Defense Studies at King's College in London. Mr. Garden, thanks very much.
You're very welcome, Steve. Good to talk.